bright light. City gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I am just a devil with love to spare. So viva Las Vegas, viva Las Vegas. How I wish that there were.
Beginning in 1969 and continuing off and on over the next 7 years, Elvis Presley remade Las Vegas entertainment. The Rat Pack era of lounge shows and blue comedians evolved to large-scale, elaborate showrooms. The Vegas concert residencies of Celine Dion, Elton John, Britney Spears, and Cher had their roots in Elvis's career-reviving 1969 concerts at the International Hotel. Let's go back to one of his shows, August of 69, at the International, as Elvis recounts one of his first appearances on live TV.
I did the Sullivan Show 3 or 4 times, and then I went to the Steve Allen Show. So by that time, they were going to tame me down, you know. They were going to tame me down. They made me stand still, and they dressed me in a tuxedo and had me singing to a dog on a stool, you know. And the dog's in heat, you know, and I didn't know it. So I'm singing, "You ain't nothing but a hound dog," and the dog's going, you know. And so after a while, I started looking at the dog going, so they took the dog out of the room to protect it from me, you know.
Elvis recounting one of the many anecdotes, part of his series of shows from 1969, 50 years ago. A totally different kind of Vegas show. With us, Richard Zoglin, author of Elvis in Vegas, How the King Reinvented the Las Vegas Show. Richard is contributing editor for Time Magazine. Richard, good to have you with us.
Great to be here.
So give us the backdrop. Where is Elvis's career in the summer of 1969 when Colonel Tom Parker convinces him to do this series of shows in Vegas?
Yeah, well, he had had a pretty terrible decade, actually. When he came back from the Army, the colonel decided he would do no more live performing, no more concerts. He did a couple of benefit shows in 61, but for basically the entire 1960s, all he was doing was making movies that were getting worse and worse and recording songs that were not making the charts anymore by the late 60s. And Elvis was really bored and frustrated. Finally, he made a comeback in his December 1968 comeback special on NBC. The one where he's wearing a leather suit and singing on kind of a boxing ring style set. That show did great in the ratings, got great reviews, and that sort of announced to the world that Elvis was back. And that's when the Colonel decided finally to make that it was time for him to make his comeback to live performing.
Now, the mix of venue and performer had to be right. So what was it that the massive International Hotel, then later Las Vegas Hilton, that it provided in the right space for him?
Well, it was a show. It was the biggest hotel in Vegas. It had a showroom twice as large as any other in Vegas. And Vegas, you know, was not very friendly to rock and roll. A few rock and roll or rhythm and blues performers might appear in the lounges, but Elvis was the first one to bring rock and roll really onto the big stage. And this was a show that was not an intimate Rat Pack-style nightclub show, a traditional Vegas show. It was more of a big rock concert-like extravaganza. So Elvis really brought something new to Las Vegas.
But what's interesting is that he did have the anecdotes, which, of course, the lounge performers, the Rat Pack, they you know, shared anecdotes as much as they sang. And so he did, in a sense, bring that into the concert setting where he wasn't just singing song after song.
True. And he really wanted to communicate with his fans. You know, he had been out of touch with them for so long, all those six, you know, through the 60s. And so this was a chance for him to, you know, as he put it, give his side of the story. So he did talk with the audience. But, you know, it wasn't slick Vegas patter. I mean, his jokes were kind of bad. He was awkward. He was kind of making self-deprecating remarks all the time. And I think he was always uncomfortable talking to the audience. But that was an appealing thing, because he was not a slick Vegas performer with program patter and packaged jokes. He was a real guy. I think there was an authenticity to him on stage that really appealed to people in Vegas.
Well, I guess an example, Richard, would be the clip we played. That was about a month in to that 69 run. So, and even there, he was sort of, you know, stumbling a little bit to come up with what he wanted to say. And he'd been doing it for several weeks because that was from August 21st. And it was, you know, back in July when he started these concerts.
At the end of July, yeah. Well, he had his sort of autobiographical riff kind of down. But if you listen to some of the other stuff, the in-between stuff, he's pretty uncomfortable. And I just think he was never uncomfortable talking on stage. He was supremely comfortable and a powerful performer singing on stage, obviously, and that's what he showed in Las Vegas.
Let's listen to another clip again, this from the 1969 series of performances, 7 days a week, two shows a night that he did during this run, Elvis explaining his career shift from music to movies.
So I did a picture of Love Me Tender, and they yelled action, and I was looking up at the sky going, huh, huh, you know. And they just felt, you know. So I did Love Me Tender, and I did Loving You, Loving Her, Loving Whoever I Get My Hands On at the time, Jailhouse Rock, and King Creole. I did four pictures. So I got real good and used to the movie star bit, man. You know, I had sitting in the back of a Cadillac with sunglasses and my feet propped up saying, I'm a movie star, I'm a song, hey, psst, hey. You know, eating hamburgers and drinking Pepsis. And
Elvis Presley at the International Hotel in Vegas, his historic run in 1969, which really changed the way that performers presented themselves in the entertainment capital, opened up the door for other performers to do the kinds of residencies that are now a staple in Vegas. If you saw Elvis in Vegas, either in 1969's initial run or in subsequent years as he returned to Vegas, I'd like to hear what that experience was like for you being in the audience. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Richard, we think of the residencies as, you know, the big ticket items in Vegas now with the Celine Dion, Elton John, you know, these big performers that hold down for weeks at a time, obviously not seven nights a week. What sort of took so long for other major artists to do this kind of an intensive like Elvis had done?
Yeah, well, Vegas really changed. In the 70s, Elvis was really the one big star. The Rat Pack years had faded, and Vegas was kind of struggling to find its way. It was the rock and roll revolution that sort of passed it by. The big rock groups were not playing Vegas. The younger generation in general was not coming to Vegas. Elvis was drawing some of them, but Elvis was drawing a new kind of audience for Vegas. Not the high rollers, the traditional Vegas crowd. A lot of them were middle America folks, families from around the country, women who had screamed for Elvis when they were teenage girls. And this was a new kind of audience. This was a broader-based, middle American family audience. And that was the audience that Vegas eventually was reaching toward. But it did take them a while. It took another couple of decades until Steve Wynn built the Mirage Hotel. Suddenly, the theme park hotels are cropping up, the Cirque du Soleil spectacles, and then suddenly the family audience was starting to come to Vegas. Then it was Celine Dion in the early 2000s who really broke the ice with a new kind of show, the residency. And Elvis, again, I think was the prototype for that, because Elvis's show was an event and people came to Vegas for Elvis. They in the old days, they might come to Vegas, plan their trip, and then they just see whoever was in town.
Oh, look, Stubby K's in the lounge, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, right. Buddy Hackett, Don Rickles, whoever. But as the stars sort of thinned out during the 70s, they would come for Elvis. Then I think the beginning of the residencies, now people come, they see, is Elton John there? We'll go for Elton, or maybe we'll go for Lady Gaga. I think that people now come for the performers, and Celine Dion sort of started that.
Well, I remember thinking when Caesars started that, man, that's risky. A venue that big, that long a residency, and boy, did it take off. Huge success with Dion's series of shows and other artists who would follow. Richard Zoglin, Elvis in Vegas, How the King Reinvented the Las Vegas Show. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Who do you think of when you have such a look? I'm all shook up. Since my baby left me, I found a new place to dwell. It's down at the end of Lonely Street at Heartbreak Hotel, where you will be. You'll be lonely, you'll be so horny, you could die. Well, the bellhop's tears keep flowing, the desk clerk's dressed in black. They've been so long on Lonely Street, they'll never, never look back.
Elvis Presley in performance, 1969. That's from the Midnight Show, August 21st of 1969 at the International Hotel in Las Vegas. Elvis's comeback just following a big NBC special, which has been much shown since, where Elvis really reestablishes himself. And then the series of shows for several weeks at the International Hotel fundamentally changes the nature of Las Vegas entertainment and becomes a destination event. We're talking with Richard Zoglin, author of Elvis in Vegas, How the King Reinvented the Las Vegas Show. If you're someone who saw one of Elvis's performances in Vegas during this era, of course, it continued as he would come back and renew the residency at the International, later Las Vegas Hilton. Give us a call, 866-893-KPCC. Sally in Studio City said, I was a singer on the Elvis comeback tour. Elvis was incredibly sweet. What a great experience. That's Sally in Studio City, remembering that experience is singing on tour. Richard, how important was Howard Hughes and his influence on Las Vegas buying up all these properties at the time in Elvis establishing himself there?
Yeah, just before Elvis came, Howard Hughes started buying up half the hotels in Vegas. He changed the nature. He started to push out the old mob owners, actually, and he instituted a more efficient corporate kind of management style. Now, most of the old-time performers didn't like this because the old model for Vegas business model was they could pay absolutely top salaries for the stars, for the biggest stars, and lose money on the show. They'd make it back in the casinos because the whole idea was to pull in the high rollers and make the entertainment a loss leader, make the money back from the gambling. Hughes wanted every element of the hotel to pay for itself, the showroom, the restaurant, the hotel. And so he just put a tighter rein on things and salaries got a little tighter. So that was a change. And if you talk to the old timers from Vegas, that was the beginning of kind of the end of the classic golden age of Vegas. So even though it was a mob run town, there was something glamorous and exciting. And, you know, a lot of the performers thought that was the great era. So Hughes is not considered He's not, well loved by most Vegas people today.
Yeah, I can understand. I want to go back to Elvis's performing schedule. Thank goodness, today artists who are doing residencies aren't working 7 days a week for weeks on end, two performances a night. How did Elvis's voice and physically, how did he handle that kind of demand?
Well, interestingly, the voice held up. He did start to run down. You know, the first year or two, he was great. He was in great shape. His voice was great. His energy level was high. As the years went on, he started doing more touring. He would, those grinding four-week, seven nights a week, two shows a night stints in Vegas just were, you know, grinding him down. No performer would do that today. He saved his voice. You know, he had an interesting conversation with Tom Jones once, who also had a big voice and put everything out there on stage and, in fact, was an influence on Elvis because Tom was performing in Vegas before Elvis. But Tom was really, ruining his voice. And Elvis said, you know, that's why I've got the backup singers. He had two backup singing groups. You heard the female soul group, the Sweet Inspirations, and a gospel male group called the Imperials. And they really backed him up. And he could save his voice a little bit because he had so much vocal backup. So he did. If you listen to his performances, even as late as 74 or so, he was overweight and he wasn't looking so good and his energy level was down. But boy, the voice still sounds great. So somehow or other, he managed to save that voice.
That's funny because now with so many older singers who are out on the road still performing, you see that very same trick. They rely very heavily on background singers, even dancers, to enable the older performers to get enough of a break. They don't trash their voice.
Yeah. Well, Elvis had just such a great voice, and it was still retained its power down.
Sounded great in 69. Diane in Riverside says, I saw Elvis in 1971 in Vegas. I was only 18 years old. My best friend and I snuck in to see him because we were supposed to be 21. Elvis was incredible. We had a blast. That's Diane in Riverside. Ryan in Pasadena wonders about video of the 69 shows. Is there much video of it out there?
Ah, good question. There is no video. Absolutely none. They did not film the show. A year later, there was a concert film called Elvis, That's the Way It Is, from his 1970, summer of 70 show. And that is the place where you can get the best idea of what he was like on stage. But no video at all from 69. And my guess is the Colonel wouldn't let anybody shoot anything because he's probably saving Elvis for the concert film that he probably had in mind back then.
Elvis's decline later on with drugs and with eating and the like. Mm-hmm. You know, people have sometimes made the association that the Vegas lifestyle was part of that. Do you think that's true?
Well, a little bit. I mean, he definitely, it was an unhealthy lifestyle. He would, he'd stay up all night, sleep all day, never saw the sun a lot. And just the grinding nature of it. He never went out of the, it was very difficult for him to go around town. He loved seeing shows. He loved seeing lounge shows. He loved other performers. But it got harder and harder because he would just attract such a crowd. So he was stuck in his room. And, you know, that was not a healthy lifestyle, I have to say.
Richard Zoglin, thank you so much for talking with us about Elvis Presley and the way he reinvented the Las Vegas show. Elvis in Vegas is Richard Zoglin's brand new book, and he's a Time Magazine contributing editor as well. Have a terrific afternoon. Fresh Air with Terry Gross comes up next. We'll leave you again. This from the live performance, August 1969, Midnight Show, International Hotel. Money, room for the show. Three, get ready now. Go, can't go.